This podcast is sponsored by L'Olièvre Paris. Founded in 1914, L'Olièvre Paris creates contemporary fabrics and wallpapers, taking inspiration from its 400-year-old archive of historical weaving that's still located in Lyon, France. Visit L'OlièvreParis.com for more.
What we do is bespoke and special for the client, so it's a one-off. And most of them are hugely sophisticated and don't want to have something that they see everywhere. They were definitely not sort of catalogue decorators.
Definitely not. And you're right, we look at things, but people might go, oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
Hello, I'm Carol Annett from Country and Townhouse magazine. Welcome to the House Guest podcast, where I chat with experts from the world of interior design and decoration, the people behind the houses, hotels, shops and brands you see in glossy magazines like ours. If you listen on the Entail app, there's more information and images on the projects and people mentioned. And if you're doing up your own home, hopefully you'll pick up some tips for yourself.
Todd Hunter Earl is synonymous with classic good taste, a permanent fixture in any listing of top interior designers. The duo recently published Modern English. Welcome, Emily and Kate. It's lovely to see you. And thank you very much for inviting me into your Chelsea showroom. Been here a couple of times before and always fascinating to see the team at work. How big is the team now?
I think we're about 16, I think, including Kate and I, would you say?
Actually, I think we're a bit more than that.
Headcount.
Yeah.
We're going to have headcount.
18 to 20.
So you have recently created this beautiful book, and what's really interesting about it is the diversity of projects. There is absolutely not a Todd Hunter Earl look. Do you think is that the reason people come to you? Do you think that's part of the reason you've been so successful?
I think there probably is a look. I think it's just that we can turn our hands to lots of different projects. So whether it's a country house in England or a beach house from the Caspian Sea or a chalet in the mountains, all of our projects have a similar thread to them.
Yes, there is a similar thread.
Yes, but we like doing different things and reading the architecture of the job and how the client wants to live in them.
So you started basically about 20 years ago, Todd Hunter Earl came together. And do you always work together as a team? Or do you just, you do separate things, then you collaborate as and when?
We run separate design teams.
Yeah.
To deal with the volume of the work.
And we chat to each other all the time about what we're doing. So oddly, that what Kate was saying is a common theme. It's so strange because Kate can be working on a project and I could be working on a project and we'll both have the same sort of some sort of element of the same about it, whatever it is, a type of armchair or a type of lamp or something. And we cross-pollinate, in other words. So that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because Kate's team might be out in a market in Turkey or something, they were there the other day, and found some fabulous things. And then they come back and we all sort of look around at what they found. And do you know what I mean? It's always buzzy and always developing. And that's great. I mean, and the point about the size of the team here is it's big enough to be able to do that, you know, to be able to kind of keep having these new ideas so you don't stagnate, but small enough that actually it's manageable and we can.
And everybody knows what each other is doing.
Yeah.
And about each other's products. I mean, even this week, you know, day before yesterday, Emily and I had a great day out. We went and signed books in Piccadilly and then we went to see two of her sites in Oxfordshire and Berkshire.
Yeah,
and
knee deep in mud. but it was fun. And so it is, that's the kind of thing. It's kind of...
We definitely work together.
Yeah.
And what about the starting point for a project? I was reading some of the background on some of the work that you've done and art seems to feature in some of them as a starting point. Is that a good place to start or would you rather have a blank canvas?
I mean, the starting point is really trying to visualise what the client wants to feel when they walk into that house at the very end of the project. You know, you look at them and you just want to kind of work out when they walk in and they see what we've done as a team and with them, by the way, all the way through. We have to work out what they want to feel. Do they want to feel, gosh, this is a bit this is fabulous, it's perfect. We hope it's always going to be perfect. But we don't want it to feel, you know, for some people, whether it's too showy or not showy enough or not relaxing enough, or it's all about the psychology, really, of the client. I mean, that's the stuff that I would say is the starting point. But
yeah.
You say,
yeah. I mean, the art, it depends on the client. If the client has a fantastic art collection, then obviously we have to look at that and work out right from the start where everything's going to be hung or where it's going to be put or how it's going to be lit. And that's lovely to have things to put into a house or a project.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's fun to start with nothing and to build
To build the collections, because that's really fun. For that New York project, we bought some lovely, lovely pictures of Jessica, and it was great fun.
And would you use an art advisor for that kind of thing, or do you?
Yes, sometimes. We do.
Mm, often.
And we're sitting here surrounded by some pencil drawings. Is that an important part to so that a client can visualise what you're going to be doing?
Yeah. So it sort of minimises the risk. You know, if a client can see a pencil perspective or even a watercolour perspective, which you'll also see around the place, then they can, to an extent, they can relax and say, OK, get on with it. And if you make it look like that, I'm going to be happy.
That's hugely valuable. And yeah. I think something that not many other designers do. So really right from the start, the client knows exactly how the house is going to look and probably feel. And for a lot of clients, they don't have that ability to be able to visualise things.
Yeah, they can't, a lot of clients
can't
look at
an enormous difference.
And know what it's going to be like.
It also sort of sorts out a lot of difficulties right from the start. So when you're doing bathrooms, for instance, and finishes are meeting each other in difficult sort of joints or angles and junctions. Yeah, we've worked that all out right from the start, which is very useful for us as well.
Yeah, it's useful for us. It's useful for the wider teams. It's you know, we're often sitting in a big meeting with an M&E consultant, a structural engineer, an audiovisual consultant, and we'll be looking, and lighting designers and whatever, and we'll be looking at these perspectives and saying, well, hang on, what do you mean you've got to drop a beam across my beautiful room?
So we constantly go back and reference them. And also they're really useful on site because the contractor knows what they're building.
Yes, it helps everybody visualise the end, end game.
And is it one of you who normally does, you know, from in the beginning, did the actual drawing, or do you have somebody in the team who
We have lovely Marianne Topham, who's I mean, we can sketch it and think about it and bring in sort of like, I've just been doing a bathroom right here. You heard me. I said, let's do a neoclassical mirror, a bit like this one, and you find something. You know, a picture of something you've done before, and then a Swedish neoclassical chair is going to look perfect with it, and then I can scribble it rather sort of loosely and sort of out of scale.
But Marianne draws it. We wouldn't have time to create the number of drawings that we do.
But she can read our mind.
One of us sits with Marianne, and we draw. But before that, we've probably done the elevations on CAD, and we've certainly sourced everything that we want to use. And so then it's just a question of her putting it onto paper.
Yeah. And I'm sure, if I was a client, I'd want these, I'd want to frame them and have them up.
Well, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
They love it. And we make them a lovely book at the end, you know, with the drawings and the...
And what about, I want you to talk a little bit about taking risks and sort of pushing the boundaries for a client. Because I would have thought that's part of the reason that a client would come to you is to have something a little bit different and to push them into something that they might not necessarily have done before. Where do you sit with that, with kind of creating a wow factor?
You have to be jolly careful.
I think a wow factor probably isn't something that I think it's not an expression I'd
use. It's not an expression that we use.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, we sort of are a little bit anti the wow factor, if the truth be known. We're much more likely to be reining in and
reining in the client.
Well, yeah, but if a client wants to take a risk and do something crazy and sort of fabulous, terrific, it means that they're really feeling it and they've got the guts to do it. I think, you know, our job. I don't know why. For some reason, I'm reined back on the wow factor.
Yes, but a lot of what we do is bespoke and special for the client. So it's a one-off. And most of them are hugely sophisticated and don't want to have something that they see everywhere. So we're definitely not sort of catalogue decorators.
Definitely not. And you're right. We look at things, but people might go, oh, my gosh, that's beautiful. But they might not go, wow. Do you know what I mean? I think I would say that. People have said that our interiors whisper. but don't shout. We thought was that's quite true. I like that about it. And I'm really always, we're always happy at the end of a project to think, do you know what that needs? It needs one really good picture or sculpture or something here or there. But
it's not, rather than it's, beginning with that.
I was thinking
particularly about a project that where you'd used quite an extraordinary sculpture with a young artist called Jordi Raga.
He's Raga. Amazing. It's a huge sort of monolithic marble statue, and it's a water feature as well. So, and it's in a courtyard, but it's a double height courtyard. And so you can see it from all angles through glass from all different levels. And he's amazing. But that was brave. My God, it was scary getting it in. It's been winched on a crane over the top of the houses and in through the roof of the, oh my God, it's absolutely terrible.
And you were all holding your heart in your mouth.
Absolutely. But no, but that is brave. But that, again, that was very much driven by the client. And lovely, we embraced it, you know. But
again, you'd drawn it out, so you knew how it was going to...
Yeah, how it was going to feel, exactly. And then we create the foil for it, do you know what I mean? Then we think about how to best create the sort of other things that go around it to give it its place. It's got a lot of energy, something like that, a lot of strong energy. And
fun to do this. What about when you're doing your own houses? Kate, how's that?
Difficult.
I have to ask Kate and
Tottenham. And I ask Emily Tottenham.
What is it?
It's very easy for other people and very hard for yourself.
But why is that?
Because we're so lazy, we're so exhausted by the end of the day. We can't be bothered.
And we've seen everything. And I don't know, it is hard to make decisions for yourself. I mean, it's lovely to do it, but it's hard. So we do often collaborate on that and ask each other.
Most things come off the back of a lorry,
leftovers.
It's quite funny when people come to my house, which is a really scrappy farmhouse in the country.
I honestly really don't believe that.
They walk in, and we've got so many animals, it's absolutely horrifying. And they walk in, and I can see them visibly heaving a sigh of relief. Thank God it's not too sort of precious or perfect. It's the absolute opposite.
You described one of your projects in South Kensington as maximalist contemporary. Tell me what you mean by that.
That one. Because that was, I think I probably didn't come up with that. Somebody else did about it, but it's just got a lot of things in it. It's full of objects and beautiful sort of big sculptures, small sculptures, wonderful books, wonderful ceramics.
Which project is that?
Laverton.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just full of lovely things. So it's absolutely not minimalist, but funnily enough, it's not clutter. You know, clutter was sort of associated with old-fashioned traditional decorating, you know, when you had a sort of a round table with a tablecloth and lots of little bits on it. And it's not that, but it's the contemporary version of that, because and everything is sort of positioned cleverly, and some things are valuable and other things are just bits. I mean, you know.
Just cleverly put together.
Yeah.
And what about growing up? Did you grow up in a beautiful house in a lovely environment? Is that where your kind of excitement about interiors?
I grew up in the country in a pretty small Georgian house. My mother has always collected antique textiles and been very interested in the arts. So I guess some of it came from there. But I knew what I wanted to do when I was 14.
Did you?
Yeah, which I think was incredibly lucky, actually.
Yeah.
So I didn't go to university and I started working, and I started my company when I was 21 and then met Emily few years later, and we started working together. So I've always known what I wanted to do.
Yeah,
that's extraordinary. Just had a passion for it, and I've just been lucky, I think.
What about you,
Emily? Well, I grew up in a very pretty house. I mean, I feel sort of a bit sort of embarrassed, privileged, but I'm in a really pretty sort of Georgian rectory, and my mother is an artist, and she painted, and a gardener, and she painted the sort of gardening columns. She illustrated, she's a botanical artist. So I was kind of, and they have got lovely things in it. Then it's a lovely house. And she was very interested in it all along. So I started off as a painter, as a specialist painter, and I worked for somebody called Jim Smart, and I did rag rolling and dragging and stippling while I was at university doing philosophy and psychology. So it was all a bit of a hit and miss. But and then I started working for lots of different decorators, decorating houses, for painting houses for them there, you know, so for Colfax, for Anushka, for blah, 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 blah. And then I went to America and did that in America, and then I started decorating her.
And do we ever see any rag rolling, stippling, or is
it's coming back?
Definitely coming back.
It's definitely coming back. We're laughing about it. I get really itchy fingers. I'm desperate to go, you know, have a, you know, get the sponge out. The painter the other day looked absolutely horrified. He was like, oh God, please don't come near me and have a go, ruin my wall. But no, it is, but in a sort of slight way, it is. Yeah.
I guess. I mean, is it that kind of thought process that if you've got a wiggly wall that you don't really want to see the kind of, I mean, is that the sort of thing?
I think it's interesting, it's that sort of texture and depth, and you know, the colour doesn't have to be completely saturated across the whole surface. I don't know, it just adds another dimension, like fabric walls do, or yeah, I don't know. I definitely think it's coming back.
And what excites you about a project, or what is it that really sort of gets your juices flowing when a client comes in? Are there certain kind of key words?
I think it can be
Saint-Tropez.
Well, yes, obviously that's marvellous.
That's lovely.
I think sometimes it's a house, sometimes it's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yes, the architecture.
Yeah, the architecture.
I'm very excited about that.
Sometimes it's a collection that the client has.
Actually,
sometimes
it's usually
the enthusiasm of the client.
It's usually whether we think it's going to be a really happy relationship all the way through.
And a fun job.
We just got a nice job with a young couple, and they were in here the other day, and we, you know, we came through and, oh, that's going to be such fun. You know, really just, you know, it's all about people, isn't it?
Definitely about characters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the team.
And have you had some favourite moments or favourite projects? Have you done some yachts?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, such lovely teams to work with there too. You know, because that's a huge collaboration.
And
it takes
from the
a
beginning?
Long time.
You start from the beginning and you work with the boat designers, the boat architects. Naval architects, the boat builders, the, you know, everything from day one. And it's really collaborative. And fun, really fun.
And usually takes about 4 years, so it really is a long time making.
A lot of our jobs are very long.
Yeah.
And you know, they
because we do a lot of new builds.
Years. We do a lot of new builds. We love a bit new build.
And also, presumably, all over the world, not only, I think that you were mentioning Azerbaijan earlier.
Yeah,
so at the moment we're working, I think, sort of from the Bahamas to Azerbaijan and everywhere in between.
We once got a job in Chile.
Yes.
Do you remember? And I didn't realise how far away it was. I thought it was just sort of south of New York somewhere. I was so pathetic. I had to go there.
I think it was on the same time
hours.
Thing. Quite helpful.
It took 24 hours to get there. I had to stop. The plane has to stop on the way.
That's the furthest
we've
ever been.
Absolutely horrified. Oh my God.
So we do always have projects abroad, but I suppose the vast majority are in the UK.
And
London and country.
And I'm kind of thinking that maybe doing the book, I mean, there has to be a sort of pat on the back moment. I mean, surely sort of putting it all in print and seeing those beautiful images and the houses that you've done. I mean, don't you sometimes kind of think, okay, we've done all right here?
I think we're very proud of it. And it was hugely exciting to do. It was great to do in lockdown because we were all over the place. And we did it online. And it was just fun to go back and look at those projects and talk to the clients and see how they still look sort of fresh and relevant.
It's funny because we thought about doing a book over the years and we've been approached and we never thought we were quite grown up enough.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we looked at each other and went, oh my God, well, sure, hell, I'm grown up enough now. We've done so much, you know, we've got so many photographs, we've done so much, there's you know. And, you know, we suddenly we looked around and, you know, we were establishment. It was actually quite scary.
And then you remember all the lovely people that you've worked with and everyone that's worked for us and the teams that we've had in the past.
Yeah, we gave a party and we had
all our old staff
here
and their husbands, the babies which had been born sort of literally the day before. And so it's been lovely in that respect.
And have you got your eye on somewhere that you'd love to get hold of, or you know, is that the sort of big country house or palace, or do you ever sort of think, oh, I'd really love to get my mitts on that? Or anything that you haven't done yet that...
I don't know, I like the variety, so I, you know,
well,
I love it when
it's... We're doing such different things at the moment. We're doing one house in the country which is made out of mud. I mean, it's rammed earth. You know, usually thick walls, but made out of earth, which is from the land. And so, and with a real sort of sustainable, save the planet hat on and, you know, passive house and all of that kind of thing, just so new and so interesting. So, you know, we like the different projects, but I can't pretend there's anything that I'd like to, I go into and think, huh, want to decorate this. Like,
and what about the furniture and rug design and that part of the business, wallpaper? Is that both of you, or is that just Emily?
No,
it's both of us. It's both of us, and it's one of it's a side of the business that ticks along, and it's mostly bespoke. It's not really mass market. I mean, I think that's what we've realised, is that it, very often we've thought about, you know, we did do a collection for Designers Guild, and we've done this, and we've often thought about trying to make it a bigger part of our life, but every time we get a sample where it's been made for less money, Kate and I go, we can't have that. It's very bespoke, and it's so. But when we do a very special piece for somebody, we ask if we can put it in the collection. And then it gets remade for those who want it.
And that's really where I think we feel our energy is. Our energy is. It's better spent on, you know, on our clients, because they're the ones that really sort of want it and deserve it and everything. And so we produce beautiful things for them, and then yes, if they work, then they might go into our sort of line of things.
And we've got a fantastic archive
of
furniture that we've made, and lamps that we've made, and rugs and things that is really quite something, actually, when you look at it all together. It's brilliant.
And if people want to look at that, you can find that online.
Yes, it's all on our website.
Yes, not every drawing, but
no, but there is a lot there.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Furniture rugs, wallpaper designs.
And we can get things we made.
So if somebody wants a little bit of the Todd Hunter Elm magic, and they can't necessarily, or haven't got a scheme.
Yes, it's definitely there.
Definitely, yeah.
Perfect. Emily and Kate, it's been absolutely lovely chatting to you on this crisp wintry morning
with our Christmas donuts.
Delicious.
Thank you very, very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to House Guests from Country and Townhouse Magazine with me, Carol Annett. You can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett, and keep up to date on all the podcast news and show notes online at countryandtownhouse.co.uk/podcast.